Welcome to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com, where we're streaming live. Joining me now on the phone, Scott Powers, who is a writer with the Orlando Sentinel. Good evening, Scott. How are you?
Fine, Cheryl. Nice to talk to you again.
Very good. Yeah, we talked a couple weeks ago when the Space Shuttle Discovery took off for its last mission. It came home safely today. Tell me about the homecoming.
Yeah, it did. It was pretty windy here at the Cape today, but fortunately that turned into a headwind for the spaceship when it came in. So that's much easier to land in than a crosswind, of course. And it touched down very gracefully and rolled to a stop. And I understand there were a few tears in the eyes of some of the engineers and technicians that got out there to meet it. But they don't like to talk about tears very often. So.
No, they don't. Were you able to watch from a distance?
The viewing point for the press and a number of invited VIPs is about a couple of hundred yards from the landing strip, but the landing strip is 3 miles long, so we see it go by pretty much the way you watch a NASCAR race. Oh, there it goes, and it's gone.
But I watched it, of course, on television, and it was a beautiful landing.
Yes, it was. It came in nice, The preliminary analysis by NASA is that it has very, very little damage. They're even talking about maybe a record low for the number of dings and nicks that it picked up during this flight. So everybody's very pleased that the last flight was near perfect.
Well, it was a 13-day mission. What did they do on this mission, Scott?
Well, the big thing they did was they brought up actually a section of the International Space Station. It's called I've forgotten what it's called, but it's a big storage unit, and it latches on to the existing space station, and they hook it up, and basically it's pressurized, and so they can open it up, and it becomes another 2,500 cubic feet of space. It's basically a storage bin, but they've got a lot of stuff in there, and racks of equipment and supplies and whatnot, and that was the big thing they brought up. Among the littler things they brought up was, of course, Robonaut 2, the robot that they're going to be firing up in a couple of weeks, and it's going to have a few months probably of just doing very minor, trivial things like testing itself. But one day they expect that Robonaut 2 could do some of the work that the astronauts are doing now, maintenance on the station, monitoring some of the experiments that are going on continuously in space, that type of thing.
Well, very good. Reading your article in the Orlando Sentinel this afternoon, it talks about something that a lot of folks in their lifetime haven't seen, and that's not sure what happens next or when something goes up next after the shuttle program, of course, after Endeavour and Atlantis.
Yeah, that's still a big question mark. The thinking is for some sort of heavy lift rocket that you could put a capsule on top, much like Apollo on top of the Saturn rockets so many years ago. However, not enough money has been budgeted for that yet, and the timetable seems not quite doable. So NASA and Congress and the White House are going around in circles, I think, trying to decide whether or not this is doable or whether or not they need another plan or more money, which is probably the least likely of the scenarios.
What happens to Space Shuttle Discovery now?
Well, it's actually been promised to the Smithsonian Institution's Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., and while the Smithsonian wants it, they haven't been able to work out some of the details, like the $20-some million it's going to take to get it there. And it's not going to be an easy procedure. I mean, to get it from here to Washington, you put it on the back of a 747 and land it at the airport there. Now what? How do you get it from the airport to the museum itself? It's a huge machine. You can't just put it on a truck. So a lot of those details are being worked out. There are other museums around the country that would love to have it, too. So NASA's basically got a bidding going on here, and part of the bidding is, okay, in addition to, you know, what you're going to do with it long term, we want to know what your plan is to get it moved from Cape Kennedy.
Oh boy, yeah. So the decommissioning and delivery is the problem. Besides the $20 or more million dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. NASA's going to do a lot of decommissioning itself. They're they're going to go through the usual tests and inspections and whatnot in the next few weeks. Then they're going to switch to a decommissioning effort that's going to take apart all the pieces that, first of all, NASA wants to do a lot more in-depth research with, because this is their first chance to see what 30-some years of space life could do to certain very key components. but also they're going to strip out all of the fairly dangerous things, the cryogenics and the pyrotechnic equipment and some of the very, very hazardous toxic lines that run through the shuttle. And that's going to take a few months. So it's going to sit here at Cape Kennedy for at least until probably the fall before it moves anywhere. But we'll probably know next month where it's going.
And in terms of Endeavour and Atlantis, what are the plans for those two shuttles?
Fairly similar long term. I mean, obviously they both have flights, Endeavour next month and Atlantis in June, and those will be their swan song flights. And when they come down, they're going to go through the same procedures as Discovery. You know, first the testing and then the decommissioning and then some museum somewhere will probably wind up with it. A lot of museums are bidding for these. I know that here in Florida, the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Center very, very much wants one. And frankly, the NASA team here wants it there because they want to keep one here, basically, so that, you know, their teams and their teams' families and everybody else can go look at these vehicles. But there's no assurance that that one will stay here. It could wind up in any number of places. I know Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton has been talked about. They've got a big Air Force Museum there. Everything from Seattle to Houston to all sorts of places want one of these shuttles.
And one of the things I hadn't really thought about until I read your article was that there's some 7,000 jobs at Kennedy Space Center that would be gone with the shuttle program as well.
Yeah, and that's really going to hurt. It's already hurting. And in fact, the total number of job loss in this area is really going to be close to 10,000 when it's all counted up, particularly the counties along the coast here, they're called the Space Coast. They're already suffering from fairly high unemployment. A lot of these high-tech jobs have already disappeared, and they are scared of what's going to happen a year from now when the shuttle is gone and the next program's not ready to go. There are some positive things coming. You know, this launch, this new launch rocket we talked about, that's going to bring some of these jobs back, but we don't know at what scale. And
yeah, it's a huge hit for the area, that's for sure. And an interesting skill set as well.
Yeah, you know, the counties here are really trying to attract a lot of related businesses, everything from solar power to aeronautics to trains, that type of train construction and design. But so is everybody else in America, I think. Probably there in Michigan and everywhere from, you know, California to New York, people would like to have aeronautic jobs and things. So they're getting in line with everybody else. The difference is perhaps they can tell employers that are looking for a place to stop that, hey, Brevard County and Volusia County, Florida, we've got thousands of people that can put together a space shuttle. They can probably put together an airplane. So we'll see how that works out for them.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's a huge hit and something I hadn't considered before I read your article. Scott, I appreciate so much you chatting with us again. Since we're not able to be there, it's great to have you on site for us. Thanks so much.
Cheryl, it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Bye. We've been speaking with Scott Powers of the Orlando Sentinel, writer for them, who was witnessed, of course, the shuttle takeoff and the shuttle Discovery landing today. We will be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.